Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Rad Reality Show. It's Thursday, so you know what day it is. It's Survivor. But let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year. And you know what it is. Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you all for joining us tonight here on the Rad Reality Show. Tonight is March 1st, 2012, and we're getting a little closer to spring now. I just heard today that on March 11th, we go back to daylight saving time. So that made me really, really happy. I am not a winter person, so I thought I'd share that with everyone. My name is Cherry Garcia, and I'm going to be your host tonight, along with my friend Paul from Minnesota. We've got a very special show for you tonight, so I hope you all have your beverages of choice ready and are good and comfy. How are you doing tonight, Paul? Are you ready for the show?
I am, and thanks for sharing the daylight savings time. I hope the shows don't screw up in there when they get run, because we've got a bunch of shows that are recurring shows, and they're supposed to start at a specific time, and we've had a few little glitches where they started at the wrong time. But, no, I'm doing good. You called me earlier this afternoon, and I said I'd just woken up because I'd been up all night, and I said I was tired, and you said you were tired. I'm still tired, Cherry.
Well, I am excited.
Oh, yes.
I am very excited for this show. We're going to talk a little bit about Survivor early in the show, and then we have a wonderful guest. I can't wait to have her on the show. We have Nabila Hannis coming on the show from Storage Wars, and it will be the first guest that we've ever had from Storage Wars, and I watch the show a lot. My husband and I both do, and I'm just really looking forward to talking with her. I spoke with her briefly today, and she's a wonderful, wonderful lady, and I really look forward to talking with her in the show, and really excited to do this. So,
hey, who let's give credit here.
Absolutely. Our friend Face Ones, Thomas, thank you so very much for doing the footwork and getting Nabila on for us. You did a wonderful job, and I can't thank you enough. you've just come through for us, and great job. And just as you said, Nabila is so sweet, so very sweet, and you are too, babe. I love you so much.
Here we go.
Best for you, Thomas. Good job,
and
Paul.
So people are aware, if they didn't read the description for the show, and I don't know if you said in the description, but we're going to talk Survivor before she comes on. So she's coming on about half past the hour. So if you've got some friends of yours that you think might be interested in talking with Nabila or listening to the show, spread the word. We got some time for you to share it with your friends.
Absolutely. Have them come on down.
Come on down.
So what did you think of last night's Survivor, Paul?
I didn't watch it. Sherry knows that that's not true. We talked on the phone about it. Gotcha. Well, I thought it was good. I mean, I really, really did.
Finally, the women come through.
Yes, that was the first thing. The first part of the show, I know they're teams, but holy cow, I felt so badly for them, how they were suffering in their shelter and the rain and the wind, and I mean, the editing really was good to show. I mean, it affected me just seeing what they were going through, and I could see that the guys were kind of trying to say, you know, we're two different teams, but you could see that some of them were feeling for their suffering and wanting to, you know, reach out to them. Then they didn't want to go too far because they knew some of their teammates, you know, were going to be a little more, you know, harsh about it. But that really was hard to watch what they were going through. But then they started off with the, hey, we didn't talk about it last week, but was that not weird? I think it's happened a time before, but last week when they had the rewards challenge where they did it amongst themselves.
Repeat that again now. You lost me a little bit.
Last week's, not last night's, but the previous episode, they had a reward challenge where they had to untie that rope and get the tarp, and it was basically all done by the tribe members. Jeff wasn't there. You know, it was all done right there, and I don't remember that happening very often.
No, I know. That was a new one where it was a self-reliant challenge.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's something new they're doing or what that was about, but that was definitely different. I wasn't sure, you know, what that was about, but it certainly seemed a little different that they would have them do a challenge completely by themselves. So I wonder if they'll do that again.
I don't know. But there's a lot of parts of the show, the Survivor episode, that you and I talked about. So it must have been a good show to bring that out in us. You know what I mean?
Right. I was very happy to see the women win the first competition. They smoked them. They absolutely smoked the guys, were able to
shut
take that challenge. Yes, just shut them out. And then in the second challenge, they were able to, you know, win the luxury of getting the, not just the, not having to go to tribal and losing another person, but they were able to win the boat, the canoe, and getting, you know, the fishing gear and all of that. So it gave them, I think, a lot of
confidence,
and it gave them some power to make transitions with the guys, you know, okay, well, if you want this, then, you know, we have this. And now they can work a little with the guys and trade a little. And before, they didn't have any trading power at all. And I think this is really going to help them deal with the guys and, you know, do a little better in their camping area. They need it so bad. Those women were suffering. I'm going to bring Ben up and see what he thought about Survivor. I know he watches Survivor a lot. Hi, Ben. How are you?
Not too shabby. How you doing?
Great.
Boom. What's up, people? What's up, Chatters? I'm not at the...
Yeah, why not?
No, I'm actually out and about right now, but I just wanted to give a call. My friend Stephanie had a question. She may or may not be listening. I don't know because I'm not in the chat room, but she had a question. I think she's a little too frightened to call in yet. One of the days she will, but it's not about Survivor. It's about Nabila. Is it Nabila?
Nabila, correct.
Yeah, something about, she wanted to know if it was her, one that got the Paris Hilton storage locker. Sound familiar?
Yes.
Okay, so she just wanted to know what was, you know, what that was like and how that was. Maybe you guys can ask that question for her later on. I just wanted to make sure I had the right, the right show.
Okay.
So, and back to Survivor. Yes, I did watch. I did watch last night. Kudos to the girls, except for withholding the canoe to the guys. That was a bad.
Well, I agree. I think they were in a situation, Ben, where they desperately wanted warmth and fire, but they didn't go over there, you know, the whole group. It was just two women. And they did, somebody did this prior. I'm forgetting who.
Monica. And
but you don't go over there and say to the guys, sure, we'll do this for you, and then they go back to their fellow tribe mates, and those tribe mates say, hey, screw you, we're, you know, you didn't clear that through us, you don't speak to the whole tribe.
I know. And at least it shows them at the end, you know, agreeing to talk about it at least. But I don't know, the way that she went off at the beginning, I'm like, ooh, careful. You know, because it's a simple request, you know. It's fair. Fire for a trip in the canoe. It's fair to me, you know. I wouldn't squat, you know. If the girls had a fire and we had the canoe and they were like, here you go, but we want the canoe, I would have been first to raise my hand and said, sure, all in favor, vote aye, you know.
Right. Now, if it was canoe plus the fishing gear, you know, that probably would have been too much, but...
Well, there's going to be some dancing involved then, you know.
I was kind of worried when that reward challenge started because they had already been miserable, you know, with the rain, the women.
Oh, I know.
And they came out in that memory challenge, and I thought, okay, they haven't slept. They were cold and miserable. At least the sun was finally out, but you knew that they hadn't slept, and I was worried that they wouldn't do so well because of their lack of sleep, but boom, 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 boom.
Oh,
and then it was so funny and cute when Kat and Troyzan paired off. That was hilarious.
Like the two stooges.
Oh. They went over seven times. I know they said this is the seventh one, and then they went past that. So I don't know how many times they tried to guess, but it was, oh, my goodness. I thought if Kat lost that one after performance last week, I was so worried. I was like, they are going to just nail her if she loses it again. But fortunately, she didn't. She got it right. And
the fortunate thing, Jerry, was that Troy's Ann was just did as bad, you know, worse than she did.
Absolutely.
If he
would have gotten it right, I don't know what they would have done, but fortunately he was just as bad as she was at it. And I don't know why they, you know, it was 8 items, but you would think after 8 tries you would get it right.
Well, here's the thing too. If Ben and Cherry, if I was standing in the group and knew that I was going to be, you know, participating, if, you know, down the road, I would have sat there and come up in my mind, this is how I'm going to do it. I don't know if I would maybe label the objects.
That's what
know,
I do, label them. Yeah.
The shells are number 1, the bottles are number 2, and I would then see them and I go, 1, 2, 1, 1, 3, 4, or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And she certainly, and Troy's Ann and Kat certainly had enough time to sit there and strategize in their mind how they would, you know, do it. And obviously, they didn't.
Well, you know, they re-racked it each time, too, right?
Well, yeah.
It wasn't the same setup. Yeah, they
right.
Each time they rearranged it again. So that they were screwed no matter what they did. You know, I don't know how, she pulled that off, but seems to me that the more times you do that, the more confused you would get, I think. I mean, maybe not, but, you know, it sure confused the hell out of me watching.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping for some different reward for them just having watched what they went through, you know. It's like, give them a tarp, give them, you know.
Like a tiny tarp, at least,
food,
like a 4x4 or something.
You know, give them something that, you know, giving them fishing gear. And all the Survivor seasons, they always at some point get fishing gear. I don't remember women taking the fishing gear out ever. It's always the guys that go out in the boat or go out there with the nets and the
but
spears.
But that gave them something to barter with the guys. And
oh, sure.
That they needed that so badly because the girls don't seem to be able to make fire very well. And they really need some help with their hut, and hopefully they can use those items and use them to their advantage with the guys. But I don't know, the guys seem to be really pushy with these women, and, you know, the guys are just saying, look, we're going to take that boat out, go back and tell the women, you know, that we're getting ready to take
that
boat out, and... I mean, they were really using, you know, kind of pushing their weight around. So I'm a little worried. I hope there's some women that are getting ready to stand up to them and say, you know, look, we won the fishing gear. If you'll help us with our hut now and share your fire with us now and be nicer to us now, you know, we can all share the boat and we can all share the fishing gear and, you know... And hopefully it'll bring some peace to one world. But I don't know. I'm kind of worried about the women. They seem to be sort of needy right now. And
position. So let me finish because I left off saying I've never seen the women out fishing in previous seasons, and I wanted to give them props that they did show them going out with the spear and coming back with some fish. So good on them. They did a good job when they finally got out there fishing.
Yeah,
true.
I'm hopeful that the women will get out there and really, you know, show some of those guys up. And I'm also hopeful that the guys will see that push around attitude is not going to go very far now that they've had one big eviction and got rid of one of the ones who was really doing a lot of the pushing around.
Oh, yeah, thank God.
Oh, my goodness, did he have attitude.
Wow.
Right, as far as the show, though, certainly when I want to talk about the immunity challenge, because that was really suspenseful and good. And I was sitting there watching Sabrina calling, and I thought, oh, she's awful. She's going to lose this for them, and they're going to vote her ass off for just doing a horrible job. You know, she was not giving good instructions at all. Don't you agree?
Well,
yes. Well,
she was trying, but I could see what she would get so flustered with Monica and the other girl that she would stop telling them where to go and tell the other ones where to go because they were closer. So I kind of get what she was doing. So I can't really, and considering she saves the day in the end, I can't fault her.
There was no left, right, one step
forward. No, straight ahead, beach around, yeah, I know.
She wasn't doing a very good job, and I know it gets frustrating, and you are watching several people, but I'm just saying that she did not help her teammates out. And the guys had such a huge lead when they started working on that puzzle. And I didn't think there was any chance in hell
either.
Until Sabrina started putting the puzzle together, and the group of women were so under control, and, you know, they weren't freaking out, and they were talking very calmly, and I think it was Monica who was sitting back there giving her instructions. They weren't talking over each other, and it's the best I've seen groups help their teammate out in many seasons. They were just very, very under control, and then I got a sense, you know what, they might pull this thing off.
They might.
And sure enough, they did.
Yep.
Now,
pretty impressive.
Well, the guys have to go to tribal. Now, I know the four muscle guys made this alliance at the start, but they made it sound, every time I saw it, like they were this powerful alliance. But are they so stupid that they didn't realize we have four and there's five other people, we don't have the numbers? I mean, it's just, But, you know, Colton. Jerry,
Colton, they say that he is so intelligent. And so far, I don't know. I don't think I've fallen asleep during any of the shows. I haven't seen his intelligent moments yet. He's sort of a little under my skin right now, but I'm open to giving him fair chances. I was fully in approval of what they did last night. I'm so glad that, you know, the five of them did get together and, you know, evict the one they evicted. So kudos to them for that. I was kind of worried when they pulled Tarzan away, or Tarzan or Trorzan?
The older one.
Trorzan. And tried to make him a rooster.
Yeah.
And, you know, thankfully he didn't want to be a rooster, and he stayed with his alliance, and I was very proud of him for that. You know, I don't know where that guy got off talking about, you know, strutting around as roosters, and some of these people, I just don't know where they come from. That one really killed me.
Yeah, you know, prior to that conversation, they had this edited clip where Colton was saying how much Bill was getting under his skin, and they clipped together a lot of things about Bill, and I'm going, oh, I get you, Colton. He's kind of driving me nuts. But then when Matt, you know, basically was bossing Trorzan around, I go, I don't like him now. You know, he's thinking he's, you know, this big hot shot, and he doesn't have the damn numbers, you know, and he's trying to tell him what to do, and I kind of switched my feelings to him.
It was definitely a little tense there, you know, and they always do that. They try to make us think that one person might be flipping, mm-hmm. and we go into tribal going, is that person going to flip, or is that person going to stay true to what they talked about? And, you know, we go in sitting on the edge of our seats going, oh, what are they going to do? And nine times out of ten, they stay true to what they had initially planned, but once in a blue moon, they will flip.
Who did you think it was going to be?
I really thought that they were going to stay true to the initial alliance, and Bill was going to go. I didn't think Chorazan was going to flip, but
no.
I was a little surprised when Colton told everyone sitting there that he had the idol. And then didn't play it. I thought, you know, but, you know, kudos to him on that, too.
That's actually a survivor move. He played, a classic move right there.
That was,
to tell,
you know,
and then not play.
I agree, Ben. That was certainly one of the first strategic, smart things I credit him for doing.
Exactly.
The one thing
he's able to save his idol and not go home, and now he's still got that protection. So
one thing that I didn't think was very smart was when he basically said, I really like all the women and don't like the guys. And Jeff called him out and said, what?
Yeah, that's...
So you paint that target a little bigger.
Yeah, that's really the dumbest thing he's ever done. And, you know, now none of the guys are going to want him to make it to the merge, because they know that if he makes it to the merge, he's going to go with the women and not going to stay with the men in any of their voting power. And so the guys are not going to want to keep him till the merge if they can get him off before then. If they can get him to play that idol and get him off before the merge, they are going to do so. And that there again is if Survivor keeps it to the merge as men against women. Sometimes they surprise us and flip this all around. So.
And then the other moment at Tribal, Cherry, you and I talked about, was when everybody's getting up and leaving and Tarzan raises his hand.
Yeah. That was classic.
Think about it.
Can we see the last two votes?
I know. We're on the edge of our seats, waiting to see the end of the show and the voting tabulation. And he had to wait 3 months to see that. Wow! Good God! Unreal! And did you already say who was voted out? I don't know if you had told the people that or not. Last night, I mean.
I'm sorry, I missed your question.
Did you already say who was voted out?
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay.
It was Matt.
It was. Good riddance. See you when I see you. Don't let the door hit you on the ass.
I think I said Bill earlier. I don't know where I got that from, but Matt, right.
I don't like bossy people, and I don't like bossy lawyers even more. So.
Oh, he was just awful.
Yeah.
He was terrible.
I think everybody on that island, probably everybody on the island, but everyone on the men's tribe probably had an underlying thought to vote him last night, no matter what, you know. I think everybody on that island was thinking, you know, we could vote Bill, but, you know, he's a comedian. You want to keep a comedian around at least till the end before you slaughter
him. I was mentioning that to Cherry. You see they put up, you know, what they do when they flash their names. He has not... And they show that he's a stand-up comedian. He really hasn't done anything or said anything funny yet to me. But one thing that he did do, and the first thing that popped into my mind, and Cherry shared that she saw it on the internet people commenting. But when Bill started getting all giddy and funny and laughing and how great, you know, Tribal
yeah.
was, everything, I thought, do they allow them to bring drugs? And I was thinking,
I know. I was like, who let him vote for the vote?
He was so loopy.
I think somebody
he's been smoking
some of the,
coconut leaves over there.
Yeah. Better he found the fermented coconut juice somewhere, you know. He was into something. Who knows? And knowing that guy, he may have wandered around and found just the right mushrooms. So.
I was just going to say some magic mushrooms.
he did, because that's the first time I've seen him like that, you know. I mean, I know it's all in the editing. He might have been that way on the boat ride in, but I haven't seen this till last night, so... Good God. Funny guy, though. Funny guy. I'm kind of glad he didn't get voted out. I don't really, you know, care either way for him, but, you know, Matt had to go. Matt
thought he was running that entire camp.
Yeah.
I mean, he really thought he was running that whole show. And he was so mad when he was walking out of there.
Oh, I can't believe he didn't kick something over. You know, if he wasn't a lawyer, he probably would have. You know,
absolutely.
A cool person, he probably would have knocked something over. I said, screw you guys, I'm going home.
I mean, he was really mad.
Oh, God.
That was something else.
Must
great
have
ending.
Sitting on the island. What do they call that place? Ponderosa, I meant.
Ponderosa, yes. He'll be sitting in Ponderosa for quite some time.
Oh,
They were mentioning on Twitter how Bill sounded so loopy, as Paul mentioned. People on Twitter were talking about it and wondering if he brought enough to keep a stash
going
for 40 days. And I was laughing about it.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what he was doing last night, but he was definitely feeling no pain.
He's definitely having a good time. There's no doubt about that. You know, I mean, maybe he's just up on the experience, but boy, he was really up on the experience. So, yeah. No, I'm glad he didn't go, though. You know, he can go later, but not right now. He's not my pick. You know, obviously, we know my pick is Monica because she wrote on my Facebook wall. So, go, Monica! Plus, Monica's really good, too. She's smart. She's got her act together. You know, she knows how to command a team without sounding bossy. Nobody's been bitching about her being bossy, which is great.
She was very helpful during that puzzle competition. They were all very quiet, not yelling and screaming, but very helpful.
I
was very pleased to see that.
Cool. She's definitely cool. Can't wait till she comes on the show. You know?
I think that's going to round up our Survivor Talk because we have our guest ready to come on the air.
I'm going to jump out because I got
okay.
my people sitting here. But,
thank you so much for calling in, Ben. You have a great night.
Thanks for having me. You guys
All
have
right.
a great time.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. And thank you, Nabila, for calling in. I'm so happy to have you join us. This is Nabila Hannes from Storage Wars, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Terry. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's so nice to hear your voice again. We're so excited to talk to you tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Have you had a wonderful day today or busy?
I did. No, it was a relaxing day, actually.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
We have myself and Mr. Paul from Minnesota up on the phone line with us.
Hi, Paul.
He's a little busy right now.
That's fine.
Paul, say hi to Nabila.
Do you hear me now?
Yes.
I can hear you.
Okay. Thanks. Hi, Nabila. I threw out a ya sure, ya betcha.
Oh, you... Okay.
He's from Minnesota.
From Minnesota.
Okay, that's wonderful. Cold.
Yeah, but we're looking forward to springtime already. You know, it's it hasn't been a bad winter. It's been one of the warmest winters on record, so I'm not going to complain. But anytime we approach springtime, I get a little excited about it. So, but
of
you guys,
course.
What's the weather been out like there in California this winter?
It's been great. I mean, you know, a little chilly at night, but in the 70s during the day, and tomorrow it's supposed to be 79, so it's wonderful. Yeah.
That's wonderful. We've had a great winter here, too. I'm in St. Louis, Missouri, and they're calling it the winter that wasn't here. We've had a really mild winter as well, and I'm ready for spring.
So am I.
Nabila, are you a native Californian, or did you relocate like so many have?
No, I've been in California my whole life, actually. I was born in Egypt.
Wow.
Yes.
Why
and,
was that? Was your dad in the military or in the government?
No, I'm actually Egyptian Armenian.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
A little fact no one knows about me.
That's wonderful. I love getting facts out there on our show that no one knows. That's great.
Yeah.
And you heard it here.
I came here when I was 5 years old, and I've been here ever since. And we came straight to California, and that's where we've lived.
Okay.
Great.
So obviously you, coming at that age, still have, you know, close family members still living out there. Have you ever been able to go back to visit?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I was there last May.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Yeah. I speak fluent Arabic. So
wow.
Another fact.
Wow. How interesting.
Yeah.
You just keep getting more interesting every time I speak with you.
Yeah. So, I was there last May, and it was very nice. It was a nice little visit. A little hot. But it was nice.
Now, was that before? No, that would have been after. Yeah. Well, I'm going to get my
time. It is.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it was. It was after the protests and all that. But there was no problem. There was no trouble. It was fine.
Okay.
Yes.
When you're trying to go to a country like that, that is, you know, having conflicts or whatever you want to call them, do you have to get it cleared with the State Department or anything, or do they just say, you know, good luck?
No. There's no problem, you know. I speak the language, so it was really not a big issue. And it wasn't as dangerous as everybody makes it out to be. It's fine. There wasn't much going on. I mean, and we even actually went down to Tahrir Square, and well, there wasn't anything going on at that time. But it was during the day, and it was fine. It was a mess, but it was fine. It's okay.
So, how long have you been with Storage Wars? How long have you been on the series?
Well, I only did 5 episodes for them, the second season, at the end of the second season. I was on the last 5 episodes right before they went to, they went up north.
Okay.
I wasn't on those 2 episodes, but I was in the 5 consecutive episodes before.
I have a question. Oops, sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I have a question. You know, that's a good question when you got involved in it. But you've been going to these storage auctions for a long time before your appearance on Storage Wars. Had you become a fan of that show because of your involvement?
Yeah, I've been going to auctions roughly 21, going on 22 years now. And when the show started, it started 2 years ago. I was one of the first people they approached to be on the show, and I turned them down. And the reason why I turned them down was because it was low-profile business. Not too many people knew about it. I didn't want to be the one to expose the business, and so I didn't think it was a good idea. All the other buyers were going to hate me. I didn't want to get into all that. I thought, well, and then I didn't know what kind of show it was going to be. I didn't know how it – I didn't know the premise. It wasn't explained to me. They just asked me to be on the show that had to do with something with options. I thought, no, it's not something I want to do. And 2 years into it, I watched the show a little bit, and I thought, okay, well, business is exposed. That's it. That's over with. All the buyers were already pissed off, so there's nothing, you know, I could do. And then I started watching the show, and I thought, oh, well, and then they asked me to come back. Let's see. I forgot when it was. I'd say probably before I did the first episode, 2 or 3 months, or 2 months prior to that, I went to Vegas for the roundtable discussion that they had.
Right.
And because they had invited me to come, and I went there, but it ended up on the cutting room floor. I don't know why, but they did. They had an independent company that did it for them, and somehow everything got mixed up, and so I didn't end up being on that show. And then shortly after that, they asked me to come and attend one of their auctions and be in the show. And then I did. So I did 2 shows, and then they called me back again and asked me to do another 3 shows for them. So that's how that came about.
So, Nabila, I was away from the phone for just a bit, so I'm not sure if you mentioned it, but I'm curious how you got started in the first place going to these auctions, and did you go to, there's so many different kinds of auctions out there, including storage lockers. Did you start in going to different auctions, or how did that start for you?
Funny story. I was at the time, it was probably in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s. I was driving by this thrift store, and I saw a for lease sign on it. And so I stopped in, and I talked to the gentleman there, and I said, well, you know, I was interested in leasing your store. And he said, well, what would you like it to be? And I said, I don't know. I'd like it to remain a thrift store. But how do I go about getting the merchandise? He said, oh, that's easy. I can show you that. And I said, okay. And he said that we go to storage auctions, and we go there and we buy merchandise. I had no idea that storage facilities even sold stuff. I've seen storage facilities. I just had no idea that they sold the belongings when the client or the customer wouldn't pay. So I said, oh, interesting. And so I went ahead and I leased the store from him, and he took me to my first auction. And the funniest thing, one of the units opens up, and it was just a knockout unit. And so I start bidding on it. And
what does that mean? I'm sorry to interrupt you, Nabila, but what is the term knockout unit mean?
Just really nice stuff. Amazing.
Okay.
It was just very clean, nice furniture, sealed boxes, you know, knockout unit, just the kind of unit that you want to, that's what you want when you look at units. And, so I start bidding on this unit, and the guy that brought me to the auction starts bidding against me.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I was like, what is going on?
I bet that was the last thing you expected.
I had no idea that was going to happen. Well, needless to say, I bought the unit anyway, but just to show you how competitive this business is.
Well,
even
good for you, girl.
Guy,
you didn't back down.
Oh, no, not at all. Even though the guy was getting out of the business, he still wanted to buy the unit. So it was just really funny. So anyway, that's how that started.
And so, now that you've been in it for a while,
right?
Once you buy a unit, like how long do they give you to clear them out? Once you've paid for the unit, how long do you have to actually go in and go through everything and get the unit cleaned out? What do they, what are the rules on that?
Normally they give us 48 hours to remove the items, but if you buy more than one and the people know you, like a lot of these facilities know me, the managers know me, they know I'm good for it, they know I'll clean it out, they will give me extra time. I have to ask for it, of course, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're just really strict on getting the stuff out of there. So, I mean, it depends on the place. It depends on the auctioneer. It depends on who knows who. And but at last week, I was at a storage facility, and I bought 6 out of the 7 units. And,
wow.
So they had to kind of give me time. I mean, there's only so much I can do in 48 hours. And they understand that, you know. So it all depends.
That's a lot of lockers to clean out.
Yes, it was. It was a lot of work. Yes.
We have a caller. Would you like to take a call from one of the listeners?
Sure.
Okay. We have Mike from Canada. Thank you for calling the Rad Reality Show. You're on the line with Nabila Hannes. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. My name is Mike Storage. I run a whole bunch of storage auction pages on Facebook for a lot of different people. My question to you is, you had talked about when you were on Storage Wars, the first locker you ever got, which was for some celebrity. You never really said on Storage Wars what was inside that locker. You said it was worth, you know, a couple million, or somebody was saying it was worth a lot of money. Can you describe to us what was in that locker?
Well, it wasn't one of the first units I've ever bought. It was just happened to be, this was actually in 2006, and it was Paris Hilton's storage locker. And yes, it was me. Yes, I'm the one that bought it. It was just at a regular facility that I normally went to every month on a regular basis. It wasn't anything special. I had no idea whose it was. It was just, even the name on the unit was a different name. It was a 10 by 30 full of stuff, and I bought it, and it just so happens that's whose it was. I started going through it, and as I'm going through it, I'm looking and I'm thinking, okay, this person's a Paris Hilton fan. And as I dig deeper and deeper, I'm looking and I see that there's things addressed to Paris Hilton.
Her goodness.
So it was as much as a surprise to me as to anyone else. It wasn't like, I didn't know. I had no idea.
Wow.
It was nice find.
Mike, thank you for calling in and asking that question.
Thank you for having me.
Great question, Mike.
You have a
great
day, Mike.
Hey, Nabila, I have always wondered, I know you're not allowed to go in and rummage through, you know, before you bid on it, but can you find out ahead of time who owns the locker, or is that also restricted?
No, actually, it's not. It's advertised in the newspaper, so you can see the name of the owner's name. It's advertised in the newspaper, your local newspaper, wherever it's advertised, and you can look at the name and you can see whose it is. Now, if it makes a difference, like Paris Hilton's unit didn't have Paris Hilton's name on it; it was under an assumed name. So. I mean, you know that information if you wanted to, but
how,
you can't run. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask how often. I would think the owners sometimes, you know, would end up going there, and because they don't want to lose it or something like that. Does that ever happen where the actual owners end up bidding, or do you even know if they're the owners?
It happens a lot. It happens quite a bit, actually. Yes, Yes, more so than not. Several times the owners are there and they'll beg the people that are standing there, please, this is my unit. Can you please let me buy it back? And most of the time they don't have the money to buy it back. And
yeah,
and it just causes a problem because the people that are trying to buy it and the owner standing right there, and then they start harassing the person that bought it, and it just turns into a big mess.
Emotional.
Yeah, I tend to stay away from those. I'll walk away from them because I just don't, unless it's just, it's a great unit and I just can't help it, and I try to work something out with the owner as to giving them their personal, which I do anyway, doesn't really matter. I leave most of the personal papers, pictures, passports, things of that nature, things that are of no use to me, you know, I just go ahead and leave it for them because it's just, it's not worth anything to me, but I know it's worth it to them. So I really, really do try my best to leave personal items for them. Or if they ask for a specific thing, like if they ask for their children's clothing or, you know, I really do try and work with the owners. I know it's a lot. Sometimes it's just they're really just down on their luck, and I try and help as much as I can. We all do. We're all pretty good.
Well, I have to share with you, my parents moved up here as they were getting older from Phoenix and moved up here to Minneapolis and had to put a lot of their stuff in storage. And one or several of the boxes that they had in storage while they were waiting for a larger apartment to come available, they put it in storage. And several boxes that had all sorts of photo albums. I mean, my parents will be turning 90 this year, so some of these photos were awfully old, and we were opening boxes and could not find one of their oldest albums. That's the fault of the moving company, so it never showed up. But I would think some people might even have their cherished photo albums in there that probably aren't worth anything, you know, to sell to somebody for you that has purchase it, but to get it back to them is
exactly. Yeah, because they're not worth anything to us, and I know that they're worth a lot to the owners, and so we really go out of our way to go ahead and leave that stuff for them. Now, every once and again, we'll find some after we've taken it out and moved it, and it's just in the bottom of a box that we didn't realize it was there, you know, and so it gets lost in the shuffle. But if it's marked photos and I go through the boxes as I'm there and I make sure that I leave those for the manager and I let them know, hey, I left 5 boxes of personal papers or 10 boxes of personal papers or whatever the case may be. And, you know, I make an effort to do that. I really do.
That's good to know.
That's really sweet. Would you mind taking another call from a caller?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Jody, thank you so much for calling in. You're on the Rad Reality Show with
Jody.
Nabila Hannes.
Oh, hi. And I'd like to ask Nabila, if I say your name correctly, a question. And it is, what is the strangest thing you've ever found in a storage unit?
Oh, I've got a great story for that one. I've got a great one for that. Okay. So I buy this unit in I forgot where it was. It was somewhere out there. And it was just—it just looked like one of those interesting, kind of older-looking stuff, you know. And I'm going through it, and we're pulling stuff out, and the guys are taking the stuff out and putting it on the truck. And I see this trash bag, and it's one trash bag, and another trash bag, and another trash bag, and so I'm opening the trash bags, opening them, and I see a jaw with hair on it. I start freaking out. I don't know what it is. I'm just screaming. Oh, yeah. My guys come over. What is wrong? I'm like, oh, my God, what is this? It's a small jaw, and I see hair, and I'm just freaking out. I run to the manager. I said, that's it. I'm not touching anything else in that unit. I don't know what it is. I have no idea. I call the police. I don't know what this is. So they ended up calling the police. They gave me my money back, said just leave it. I unloaded the rest of the stuff. I don't want any part of this. I don't know what it is. They called the police. The police ended up coming down. I had left. And I called later on to find out what it was because it looked like a small child to me.
Oh.
And I was just, my heart was just pounding. And it turned out it was an older woman, and it was her dog.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, her dog died, and she just, that was her way of keeping it, I guess, was putting it into trash bags.
Oh, my.
She scared me to have to death.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
And so you lost out on everything else in the unit because this lady, encased her dog in trash bags.
Well, they ended up giving me my money back. So
yeah.
It wasn't, I didn't quite lose out on the, but it's just, I didn't want it after that. I didn't
Oh, my gosh. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Who would do that?
I don't know. People store people store the funniest things.
Oh, my goodness.
And when I think I've seen it all, I see something else. So I can't say I have seen it all, no.
Well, besides the Paris Hilton, you know, which I know is, we'll take that one off of the table. What is the most expensive item that you found in a unit?
Oh, gosh. Over 20 years, the most expensive. One thing that was very interesting. I bought an attorney's unit one time, and it was two units of his that belonged to the same person, and I'm going through the stuff. I mean, it's just paper. I'm just tossing it around. I'm so pissed. I just spent $2,500 on this crap, and I'm just throwing it around, and I'm mad, and it's all paper and lawyer's books, and just, oh, it was just terrible. I get to the last box. The last box, and there's a shoe box, and inside the shoe box is baseball cards from the 50s and 60s, mint condition, Mickey Mantle, just every baseball player you can think of from that era was there, and they were all in mint condition, beautiful. I mean, I had everybody wanting those cards. So that was a good find.
Wow.
So you never
great
know.
Great question.
So, you know, those, yeah.
We have another caller.
Okay.
So we'll see what they have to ask. Thank you, Cindy, for calling the Rad Reality Show. You're live with Nabila Hannes.
It's
Hi, Nabila.
Way.
How are you?
It's
Hi,
big
Cindy.
Way.
How are you?
Hi, Paul. Hi, Sherry.
How are you?
Good, how are you? I have three questions. I love your show, first of all. Love it, love it, love it.
Thank you.
When you're on the show, do you feel like you have to bid on a locker?
No, I don't. They don't pressure you to buy. I mean, you buy if you want. You don't, you know. It's all up to you.
My next question is...
Well, Cindy, before you ask the next question, a follow-up to that, do you, if they don't pressure you, the producers or whatever, do you sometimes feel pressured, self-pressure, because you know how the show ends, they show the tally of the people that are on there, and who wants to be that person that shows a zero, do you kind of pressure yourself sometimes?
Well, I mean, I'll buy what I want. I will not be pressured by anyone.
Okay.
So I live by my own kind of rules. So
okay,
no.
What's next?
My next question was, I know how you guys always bid everyone up. Do you do that when you're not on the show, or is that
absolutely?
You always bid other people up.
Always. Well, it depends, and the reason why we do that, it's because. You try and eliminate your competition. If they spent money on a crappy unit, they'll have less money to spend on a nice unit. You understand? So it's not being vindictive or being mean. It's just a tactic that we use because it eliminates, you know, so when a nice unit does open up, you're able to buy it
right.
at a reasonable price.
It eliminates the cash in their pocket.
Exactly.
And my third and final question is about David Hester. I love him.
Okay.
Is he that vicious always?
Let me tell you something. Dave is
He seems like a sweet,
it,
sweet man, though.
He's vicious when it comes to business, but as a person, and I've known Dave for over 20 years, and I've dealt with Dave, and him and I have gone head-to-head on rooms, and as a person, he's a very nice person. Very nice.
He seems like one. I actually cried when his brother showed up to the auction. That was such a sad show.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with his brother. I don't know all that happened, but I'm sure that, I mean, something's there. I'm not quite sure what it is, but he's a family man. He loves his family. He's a very nice man. I mean, he's the first one that'll, if we're in a setting, he's the first one to wanting to pay, and he's a really good guy, actually. If you know Dave, he's very good.
You can kind of tell sometimes. I don't know the older gentleman's name.
Barry.
Barry. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Is he really that eccentric?
Oh, my God. Barry's on all the time. I mean, I don't know where he gets his energy from.
Oh,
I mean,
my God. I love that man.
Cameras off, cameras on. Barry's on.
That radio...
I bet he has a million stories. I
would love to sit down and have a drink with him sometime.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The drink would never end.
The radio controlled helicopter, whatever it was.
Oh, God. I was really irritated with that, actually. Because it takes a long time to do something like that. We want to, God.
That's one of my other questions. How much time in between each lockers?
Oh, my God, it's forever. It seems like forever. I don't know.
Hello?
It's very time consuming.
I don't know if like the show they like edit, you know, somebody staying behind to check their lockers, or is it a long time?
Yeah.
No, it is a long time. It's what you see is nothing. That half hour show is just it's edited down so much. It takes forever to film that, and then Barry's little antics take forever.
Because he does. He has antics on every show.
Every show.
He's great though. I do. He's good TV though.
He is. He's great TV. Great, very entertaining.
Oh, he was. And I remember the time he brought donuts for everyone, coffee and donuts.
Oh,
and
set that little table up.
Yeah, he set up the little area out there. And he's always pulling something. And he drives a different vehicle. I have no idea how many vehicles the guy
has. Yeah, I take it he has tons of money then.
I think he's very well to do.
Someone told me he used to be a record producer or some sort of music producer.
No,
is that true?
No. He was in the produce business. Produce.
Produce. Okay.
Yes. Him and his brother, his family, and I think he sold out his part of the business to his brother, and just he's retired now, and he's just doing his thing.
The end of the one show, he said he was going to take everyone to his humble abode, and he drove up to this beautiful California home. And then he goes, "You don't think I was actually going to take you to my home, do you?"
Yeah.
He's just a character.
He really is. He's a
and I'll never forget the time that Dave Hester was, this is one of the shows that always sticks out in my mind. Dave Hester was taking that little trinket to be
the one that blew.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I want to know how much it was worth.
To find out how much it was worth. And he got out of his truck and he dropped it on the ground and it broke.
Whatever possessed him to take it out of the bag first, I don't know. His little pocketbook there.
He was so mad at himself.
Yeah, some of those little boxes could go up to $2,000. That's why he was so mad.
Oh, my gosh, he was so
mad. Yeah, yeah. I don't blame him. I would be too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but everybody makes mistakes, you know. It was an accident.
Yeah.
Now, another question. Do you, when you guys go and have that stuff evaluated, do you have to pay?
I don't.
I mean, I've only done the 5 episodes for him, but when I went
when you go for your appraisals on anything, do you have to pay, or is that all free?
No, it's free.
Hell, the people that you're bringing it to get to be on TV. I mean,
exactly.
You know?
Well,
they're
not
getting free advertising, yeah.
Right, but just not. I just mean in general when you go for appraisals.
Some places do charge if you go to if you're going to have it appraised for insurance purposes, they will charge you. But you can find places that you can have things appraised for free. Yes, and then on this, being on the show, of course, the place gets advertised.
Right.
So they don't charge. No.
Great questions, Big Wig.
Thank you
so much for calling in, sweetie. It's nice
thank
to hear
you.
Your voice again.
Bye-bye. Love your show. My mom and
dad
are gone. I can watch it now.
Thanks. Nice talking to you, Cindy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we've got one more caller. Mr. John Crocker, thank you for calling in. You're on the Rad Reality Show with Miss Nabila Hannis.
Hi, Nabila. Hi, Jerry. Hi, Paul. Hi, everyone
in
the chat room.
Hi, John.
I made it through the storm.
I'm glad to hear you're home and safe.
We got a foot of snow up here in Maine today.
John is one of our regular callers, and I talked to him earlier, and he's up in Maine where they just received a foot of snow today. So
around there.
So much for a warm winter, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the whole winter has been rather warm with the up until March came along and decided to get cold and have a snowstorm. So.
Oh boy.
So I have to admit I don't have a lot of time to watch all the episodes of Storage Wars, but I have seen a couple of episodes and like really in a nutshell. I used to do that myself. I mean, I haven't done it for 20 years. I didn't do it for 20 years. It was a farce that I even fell into doing it. My business partner, long story short, sent me an email wondering what we were going to be doing with the stuff we had left over. He suggested maybe we can go this route. And I thought he was saying, go here, bid, and see what you can find. And so that's
right.
What I did. And our first locker was... the guy opens it up, and I'm standing there with $400 that I had never been to one of these before, and I'm waiting for somebody to say something, not knowing what to do, and nobody's saying anything. And so the auctioneer asked who wants to start the bidding, and somebody said $5. And I thought he was kidding. And so he started saying $5 once, twice, and I was like, oh, I'll give you $10. It ended up being $35 for the whole unit, and
That's 20 years ago, right?
No, that was 2005.
Okay,
so,
okay.
Not quite 20 years ago, but 7
years
ago.
Oh, okay.
it was a blessing in disguise and a nightmare to behold for the next couple of years because on the it was a nightmare because it was a blessing because it was a gold mine in there. We made probably around $4,000 or $5,000 on that unit off $35.
Nice.
But
wow.
But over the next 2 years, all the units that we bought were just absolute junk after junk after junk after junk. It was just
yep. They got you with the first one.
I like your reaction. It's like been there, done that.
They got you with the first one. It's like going to the races and betting on the horses. You win every time, the first time you go.
Right.
After that, you don't win again.
But that one, that first one was also my worst one because it had somebody's ashes in there as well.
Oh my. Oh, yes,
yeah.
I've had those.
Yeah, and I was like, I didn't know what to think about that. I was like, what did I get myself into? But and then 2 years later, I went to when I was about to close my business, and I went to, had literally $250 in the account, my business account, left, and they called me and they said, John, you have to come to this auction today because this guy, this is some guy's 20 years his whole life is in this locker.
Right.
And so I went there, and there was about six other guys, and I ended up getting it for $235, and we made probably around 15 grand in there, and then we just paid all the bills.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
Up.
Oh,
my
wow.
Wonderful.
Great
that
story,
guy,
man.
The guy
yeah.
that had this locker had, he was a compulsive, he was a hoarder. So he saved every single thing he ever got. And up to
gotta love hoarders.
Yes, he was... He was born in 1920, and he saved everything from his childhood all the way up to he was 90 when he passed away or something
oh
like that.
Oh, my goodness.
What
but,
a great find.
Yeah,
wonderful.
It was unbelievable. I mean, they had Babe Ruth flip books, you know, those flip books that
right.
It's Babe Ruth teaching you how to hit a baseball with a bat.
Right, right. Yeah,
wow.
The one that you... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Tom Mix, he had all of the Tom Mix promos from the cereal boxes, all of those promos still in the original packaging that they were sent to him in. I mean, they
oh,
were never opened. Yeah, it was amazing.
Wow.
But,
wow.
But I have been there. I have experienced the highs, and I've experienced all the lows there are to have. So,
yes, sir. I know exactly.
So now I'm
back
at my 40-hour-a-week job. So.
We've got a caller on the switchboard that I'd like to bring up, if you don't mind me interrupting you for a moment, John.
No, not at all.
Judy, thank you for calling in. You're on the Rad Reality Show with Nabil Hannes.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine,
Hi, Judy. Nabil is one of my dear friends from many, many years, a long time, maybe over two decades of buying. I've bought
yes.
against her, I've bought with her, I've been through a lot with her. I'm very proud of her. She is definitely one of a kind and a definitely hard to buy against.
Oh, thank you so much for calling in, Judy.
Hey, Judy,
yes,
have you ever been standing in the crowd on any of the Storage Wars episodes?
I haven't. The thing with that is that there's a ton of people, and I agree with Navila in the way that, you know, on any given day, there's a lot of auctions going on, and it's very time-consuming. And, you know, unless you're getting paid for it, you know, your time is worth a lot of money. And when all of them are over there, I'm over there, and I'm over
exactly.
there making money. You know, it's kind of like that kind of thing. But the show is doing really good, and everyone on it are all people that I've known for a long time, and I'm very
cool.
proud of them. I'm proud of their success, and I'm very proud of Navila. And she is definitely one of a kind. She knows.
Thank
right.
you, Judy. Thank you,
Judy.
Yeah.
I can't let you go. Judy, this is Paul. I can't let you go. You hinted when I was in the switchboard. You mentioned that you had a celebrity find yourself. Can you share that with us?
I have. It was after all these years, I finally hit my gold mine. Like every buyer that's been in this business as over 20 years, that's the one that you're always looking for. And we finally did hit it. And it's taken me over a year to go through the legal process of being able to sell it. And it is truly not only in the sense that, you know, of just one item being really, really good. It tells a lot of history over years and years and decades of Hollywood and the way they make the movies and just so much of everything that has to do with Hollywood memorabilia. It's a very special one to me. I spent a lot of time on it, and I'm very proud of it.
Yes, she
yeah.
has. She has spent a lot of time on this. And it's,
yeah,
it's,
and
it's,
I'm not
great.
Done. You haven't heard the
yes.
last of me.
I
don't be surprised if you don't see me in the Vila somewhere pop up. You know, it's not entirely impossible. I'm determined. I don't give up. I'm just like her. She's just
yes,
you know,
she is. Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
very proud of you women that are out there standing up to these men and, you know, getting the units that you want and not backing down. And, you know, it's somewhat of a world
bad.
Out there, but you women, you know, are strong at what you do, and you go out there and you get what you want. And I'm very proud of, you know, the way you go out there and
You know, it's like anyone else, really, and anything else in life. You know, you have to. Everyone sets up. You know, you get up in the day and you go out to take care of your family, and you get up with good intentions to do the right thing, and you know, and make a life for yourself. And this is something that we do for a living, and there isn't anyone that should be able to tell you if, when, how, and whatever, how to do it. And you have just as much right as anyone else. And, you know, and Nivea and I both have been through it and back, and then some with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can stand up with the best of them.
Hey,
we certainly
can. Judy, I need to ask something from one of our regular fans, and it's somebody else. It's who got Nivea to come on tonight. He's wondering, is this the same Judy that's from Twitter?
It sure is.
There you go.
I'll just say hi to you.
Yes, it is. Who is it?
It's Tom.
It's Tom. I've created quite a fan group going on because I've just gotten past, you know, all the, you know, I did everything the right way, and I with celebrities, you know, it's a little bit of a different thing because you have the arrogance thing there, and it's just that, you know, the bottom line is whenever they sell the units, they need them cleaned out, and it doesn't matter who you are, the rules apply to everybody, and in the end, they apply to both people who have money, who don't have money. Everyone has to follow the rules, you know, and,
exactly.
And I know that. You know, and that's the key thing, you know. So, and it's always a gamble too. I mean, it's like Nivea said, you know, over the years, you know, I've spent $5,000-$7,000 on a room and taken it straight to the dump. It could very
exactly.
well have been office files. It happens a lot. You know,
what
it
is
really
the
does.
Most you've ever spent on a locker for both of you?
No, I'm gonna say, oh my goodness, you're talking about years. 20,
yeah.
21,000 maybe. I think it was little race cars over in Rancho Cucamonga somewhere. I can't remember, but there's been some good ones, yeah. And there's
yeah.
been some really far out ones that you'd never think in a million years. You just
yes.
never know what people save. It's quite something.
Dead
yeah,
dogs.
It is.
But I just wanted to call in, support Nivea, and say that, you know, that that it is a very challenging business. It's a very competitive business, and we're here to stay, even with all the people. It, you know, when you build a business up, you always have your followers and your regular customers that will come and buy from you no matter what. You could have crap out there, and they will pick up something because they know how hard you work.
It has
to
be one of the,
mm-hmm.
the most fun things to do in the way that you
mm-hmm.
never know exactly what you're going to find, and going in there and, you know, I've gone to yard sales and things like that, and it's a treasure hunt.
It is.
Never
yeah.
knowing what you're going to find, and finding that one special item is just the biggest high, and it's just a thrill.
It's like Christmas every day. It's like Christmas every day. It's
yes.
just, it's so much fun. I mean, sometimes it's fun, and then sometimes it's not. When it's trash, it's not fun.
Oh,
right.
I can imagine. It can be frustrating as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, but when it's good stuff, you're happy, and you're going through it, and it's just wonderful.
We put our kids through college with it and doing it, and all the, you know, it's like Christmas every day for them, or used to be. Now it's a little bit different now, this generation, but it is. You just never know what you're going to find. It only takes one box. It really
yep.
does.
That's what I always say, every room, it just takes one box.
Yeah,
and,
one box.
And Judy's starting to sell the stuff on, since she won her lawsuit. She's just going to start selling the stuff on eBay now.
Yeah, oh, it'll be under user ID Teak 2010, TEAK 2010. You guys come take a look. There's over 10,000 pieces or more that's going to be listed. I'll be listing this stuff for the next 3 years.
Wow.
Makes me
wonderful.
An offer. It's a lot. It's just so much art and memorabilia. It's just, you know, and it's just been such a really honor to be able to really read and find out. You know, I really learned something with this, too, along the way. You know, the history of Hollywood, you know, that goes way back into Disney. I mean, it's just been a really great experience for me. Yeah, it really has, and I've been buying these things for a long time. So,
Judy,
you know,
thank you so much for calling in.
You're
welcome. Really added a lot to the show, thank you for supporting Nabila.
Thank you, Judy.
It's been wonderful talking to you, Judy.
No, okay. I love you too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. She's a wonderful lady.
Aw, she sounds like it.
Yeah, she really is. And I am so happy that it was her that got this stuff. I mean, I'm just really, really happy for her.
Someone in the chat room was asking if there's any items that you have to report that you find. Is there anything that you find that you have to report to anyone if you find them?
Weapons. Yes. If we find any weapons, we turn them into the police department. That's about it. You know, or if we think, I found, I don't really like to talk about this, but if I think someone is doing something illegal, like one time I purchased a locker of one of these pedophile guys and I saw pictures and I just wouldn't touch it. I called the police. I said, come handle this. I don't want any part of this.
Right.
And they came and they investigated and it turns out he was working at a school. And I was just so upset by that.
Oh,
really,
horrible.
Really, because like some things like that, I don't touch anything that's like that. If I see anything like that. Yes.
No, you talked about guns. Is there any other illegal, like you ever come across drugs and stuff like that? I didn't even think about what you might find in these places.
But the drugs are very minimal. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Throw them away. I've never found large amounts of any drugs. I haven't personally. I don't know if anybody else has, but you know, if I did, I would sure report it, but just a little bit here, a little bit there. He would just throw those out, toss them out.
Yeah.
And those would probably be just like, you know, something
a little
that somebody's
bag of marijuana,
gotten.
You know,
oh, really?
Marijuana. Yeah, just a little tiny bag of Coke or whatever. I don't even know if it's Coke. I don't know. I
thought it would just be like something that, you know, a pill bottle of somebody's old medicine or something.
Yes, we throw pill bottles too. We throw all those out. We find a lot of those, ton of those. Just toss them out. Needles.
It's amazing what people put in stores lockers.
I
have seen some of the most incredible things saved that they have shown on Storage Wars that you wouldn't think people would pay to store.
and the little bit that you see is really nothing compared to what it really is. I mean, it's just, oh, my God, it's just amazing what people store. Why do they pay all this money to store this stuff?
I
could have dumped it, for God's sake. You spent more money than what the stuff is worth. That's why I think that storing your stuff is really a waste of money. And I always tell when one of the owners of the unit show up, why didn't you sell this stuff when you had the chance? Why didn't you get rid of it? If you haven't used it in a year, you're probably never going to use it.
Right.
Get rid of it. Have a yard sale. Make some money off of it. Get rid of it. There's only going to be three or four boxes that are really, really important to you that you're going to want to keep. And the rest of it is just replaceable. There's nothing in there. And they spent thousands and thousands of dollars on this stuff. And by the time you get it out of there, it's not worth the thousands. You could have bought all brand new stuff for what you had in there. It's ridiculous.
Hey,
I'm sorry, Paul, go ahead.
No, I was just going to, I didn't want Phil to, I want to make sure he got his question in is all I was going
to say. Okay, let me go ahead and get him up before I have mine. Phil, thank you for calling the Rad Reality Show. You're live with Nabila Hannis.
Well, this is, you just make each night and each show so much more enjoyable.
Thank you, Phil.
I'm a 58-year-old gentleman here in Virginia, and I know that show, it spurred so many others on other networks. and it just blossomed, and it's just the characters and the people that you involve yourself with, and just the variety that you offer your TV audience each and every week. It's just so pleasant. And then to listen to Judy explain just that much more of your personality, it's just a joy just to understand really how it goes.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's a tough business, and as far as you know, the show the show is doing great. It's not great for the buyers right now because we have so many people showing up at these auctions and a lot of looky-loos and a lot of it's taken away from our business in a way, you know, from the regular buyers, the people that just go to the auction. But I mean, there's so many other shows that are. I don't watch the other shows. I really don't know what the other shows are. I really don't. I may have flipped through a channel and watched a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but I don't normally watch any of the shows. But Storage Wars, yeah, they really did a great job with that one.
Yes,
they really did. Phil is
I
one
know
of our
on an occasion here
well.
When we had to clean out my wife's parents' house that we had to store material for over 2 years just so another sibling could come and get it from out of state. And it was a time or two that we just decided that we was going to get rid of some items like that and just let them go. So
right.
That was just one way of getting rid of just stuff we no longer needed, was just to quit paying on it.
Good, good. That's what you need to do. That's perfect. Yeah, just to get rid of the stuff and just keep the stuff that really, really means something to you, and the rest of it should just, you know, it's have a yard sale. You'll make money, you know. Great way to make money.
That's true. But I thank you for your just your involvement and your show and your participation.
Well, thank you so much, Phil. I appreciate that.
Phil,
okay,
you always
good
have
evening.
The sweetest things to say. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank
All
you.
Right. Good night, Jerry.
Good night, hon.
All right, Paul.
Good night. He's one of our longtime listeners, and he's just a doll. He always has the sweetest things to say.
Oh, he's a very nice gentleman.
Yes.
We have some wonderful listeners.
Yes, we do. We have a great family of people that join us weekly, and we just love them to no end. They support us every week and follow us, and we have a great, what we call the Rad Reality family that support us, and great, wonderful people.
Oh,
we have
nice.
Another caller that I think maybe somebody that wants to ask you a question. Laura, thank you for calling the Rad Reality Show. You're live with Nabila Hannes.
Hi, Nabila. I follow you on Twitter a lot. I'm in Northern California. And I do what you do, not as a big scale as you do. We buy storage lockers, my husband and I. We do it on a small scale, but we have a lot of fun while we're doing it. And we make money. You just never know what you're going to get. And it's like Christmas every time you open up a box.
Isn't it nice? Don't you just love
it,
Laura? And I think I know who you are.
You do.
Yes, I do.
It's an absolute... absolute fun thing to do.
It really is.
Something we do every chance we have. Right now, my husband... Go ahead.
Do you have a regular job, or is this something you just do on the side? Okay. So
we do. We have 9-to-5 jobs Monday through Friday, but we always take that day off during the week when there's an auction to go to, and it's a lot of fun. And I think... up here, I'm one of the, there's one other lady that buys, but there's only two of us that buy in this group of men, and it's a lot
right.
of fun.
Yes, yes. It's predominantly a male business, and it's very tough for the women, but I love to see women out there and doing it, you know, like Judy and I, we've been doing this forever, and, you know, I like empowering women, and I like women to get out there and really
do it. I mean, you know, it's great to have help, of course, because you can't physically do the labor. But yeah, go to head-to-head with these guys. Get them.
It is a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun when you I think they're surprised a lot when it is a woman who does the bidding. And then a lot of the newbies, as we call them, because there's a lot of new people, they don't necessarily know that my husband and I are together. And so I may stop bidding, and then he'll start bidding like as a new
Exactly. Exactly, so, yeah.
There's a lot of things we do. I still remember our first unit we bought for $25 that looked like a pile of doo-doo, but underneath the big pile of clothes was the old bottle collection and some paintings and some really, really good stuff. So
how nice. Isn't that nice when you do that and it's a surprise? See, it's the stuff that you can't. It's the stuff that you can't see is what I love. The stuff you can't see is, you know, yeah, the hidden treasures. It's a wonderful.
That's true.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. We do.
It's a lot of work, too.
It is. That's why I have a wonderful husband and son who help out a lot, too. And we sell at the flea market, and we do our Craigslist thing, and we do that on the weekend. But, you know, we work during the week, but we take that time off during the week on occasion, and we'll go to the auction because we find there's not as many buyers in the middle of the week as there is on a weekend auction.
Oh, really? It's the opposite here. During the week.
Yeah.
The weekend auctions here are usually vault auctions or piece by piece auctions. I don't normally go to those on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really been lucky at those. I don't know. I really don't like doing the piecemeal thing where you buy the box, buy the box, and so much money per box. Say you pay $25 a box and you take your pick of how many boxes you want at that price, or $100 a box. I've never really made any money doing it that way. Storage is my deal. I really enjoy that.
Storage is a really, really great thing. I know my son and I, this last weekend, we just bought out a yard sale. We knew that the person was going to end it at a certain time, so we went back and we bought it because we knew that the gentleman had been in the Air Force and he traveled around the world. So we got some interesting things. We got the leftover things, some things that had come from Germany and different places. And it's just, you just never know, but you have to be proactive. You have to be out there, and you have to do it in order to make it a go. A lot of people think they can come out one time and do something, and then, you know, it's not always that way.
And they have. They've come out that one time and gotten that great room, and they think every room is going to be that way. And, I mean, it's happened, but, and then they turn out. I mean, I've seen them come and go throughout my, you know, they've come and go all the time. They come in, they buy one good unit, they think all the units are going to be like that, and so they end up buying a bunch and end up losing all their money, and then they go away. You never see them again. So you have
true.
To be... You have to be very picky about what you buy and really look at it, and you know, and early on in my career, if you want to call it that, I used to buy out yard sales as well, and I did really well doing that. Yeah.
We found there's a lady up here who does estates, and we got on her preferred buyer list. So now when she does her estate sales, at the end of the sale at a certain time, everything is free. So we wait for that certain time when we know everything's going to be free, and we just get everything that's left.
That's wonderful. Well, the problem with estate sales now and these type of things, you know, with the smartphones now, and everybody can look up every item where before you couldn't do that, and you didn't know what the item was worth, or if you knew, you knew that the other people didn't know. And you can actually make money. But now everybody can just look up everything, and, you know, technology's gotten so where you could just, you know what it's worth, and you know how much you could buy for and sell it for, and then everybody does it so quickly.
That's true.
You know, yeah, 10 years ago, you did. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's very true. That's very true, Nabila. The last locker auction we were at, my husband's son and I were the only ones that had iPhones. And so we were there, and we looked up, and we knew exactly what the stuff was worth. But we were the only people there with the stuff, with the technology, and I was just amazed that there weren't many other people that had that technology available to them that didn't do it.
Yes, yes. And it happens all the time. Everybody's on their phones looking stuff up. And
it seems like that would be, you know, a tool number one to take with you anytime you go to one of those things, that you would need that iPhone, you know, to check what you're bidding on.
Well, every once in a while you don't have the time, really, because the auction goes so fast. But when you do have the time, you can look it up really quickly. But if there's a lot of people at the auction and it's taking time to look at the unit, you can go ahead and look it up. That's why I always like to be first in line looking at the unit.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's funny,
I'm always the first one.
Sometimes I think it's neat when my son goes up there and looks. I think, oh, I'll let the little kid in. And he gets up there and he looks, and then he'll come back. One time he goes, Dad, there's a BB gun in the corner, and I don't think anybody saw it. And so we bought the locker, and you just never know.
Right.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's great. That's wonderful.
Oh, I think we just
lost
Laura.
That's all I was going to say. Oh, we lost Laura?
I think I was just going to say thank you for calling, and her call dropped. So.
Yeah, I know Laura from Twitter. She's a very nice lady.
Nabila, what is your Twitter?
Yes. My Twitter, Nabila Hannes.
Oh, that's easy.
There you go.
And I'm going to bring someone else up that I think you'll recognize.
Okay.
Thomas, thank you so much for calling into the Rad Reality Show.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm
great.
Hi,
Thomas.
Hey, Nabila, how you been doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Good.
I really didn't have much to talk about because I heard about everything there is so far today. A lot of stuff you already told me. And I know we've been good friends talking on the Internet all the time, so...
That's right.
A lot of stuff I know about.
Well, I wanted to thank you,
Brandy,
Thomas, for making this show tonight possible.
Yes,
the one
thank
that
you
hooked
very
us
much.
All up.
Yes, he did. Thank you very much, Thomas.
All right. You're welcome.
You had a question about Brandy?
Well, I just wondered what she thinks of Brandy, that's all.
I know she's
told me a little bit about her.
What do I think of Brandy? I don't know. I mean, they're young. They're starting out, you know. They got lucky with this show, you know. Not everybody after 2 years can, you know, they're 2 years in the business. And they lucked out. Good for them, you know. They don't have much experience as far as I'm concerned. You know, I don't think they know what they're doing, but, you know, they're great on the show, so more power to them.
A lot of people love them.
Yeah, well,
I liked you before I liked her. I didn't even know who she was at the time, because I knew you from about 2 years back, a couple years ago. Until about a couple months ago or so. I can't remember when I started talking to you.
Right.
But I knew about you.
Yeah, I know.
My phone's going bad, or is this me?
I'm sorry?
I can barely hear you, that's all.
Your phone has a little bit of sound problem in the background, but we talked about that the other night.
I'm trying to get it to work, but I don't know if it's a fan or not. It's a fan? I don't know.
We've got a caller in the chat room that's wanting to know how long you get to see the locker before the bidding starts, how long you actually get to, you know, take a look into the locker and check it out and see what all is in there before the actual bidding starts.
You know, we stand at the doorway. We look as long as we want, really. I mean, we like to move it along because other people want to take a look. But we can take as much time as we want. I mean, we can't stare in there for a half an hour. But we take 5 minutes. You know, a five-minute look is plenty, I think. If not, you know, I think 5 minutes is actually too long, but 5 minutes is plenty of time to look at a unit. But they don't rush us. It's just that you kind of know that there's a line there and you want to move it along, and you look as much as you want and move it along. I usually sometimes yell, "Let's go." Okay. You know, I'll be in the back and I'll, "All right, let's go."
Nabila,
you know, really, yes.
No, I thought you were done.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Oh, how long do you have once you've won the auction to clear out the locker, or does that vary from one facility to the other?
I did answer it earlier, but I'll tell you again. Oh. Normally, it's 48 hours, but if you know the facility and you know the managers, and if you buy more than one unit, or if it's a big unit and they know that you can't possibly do it in 48 hours, they'll give you more time if you talk to them. They're usually pretty good about working it with you.
Okay. So, I must have been in the screening room when you answered that. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. That's okay.
I'm curious, do the auctioneers get a percentage of the bids, or are they just hired by the storage company?
Oh, they're hired by the storage company, but they do get a percentage.
Oh, they do?
Yes. I think they get a flat fee plus a percentage. I'm not sure how that works, because sometimes they go out there and there's only one unit and it doesn't bring much money. So they'll get a flat fee plus a percentage of whatever the unit goes for. I think that's how it works. I mean, I'm not an auctioneer, but I've talked to a few of them to know that that's basically how it works with them.
Now,
yeah, Dan,
how hard is it to sell the items? Do you find that you use eBay the most, or your
I do swap meets. I used to own thrift stores, and I just found it, if I wasn't there at the thrift store, the employees weren't selling anything. And I had an auction house, the same thing. It's just a lot of work. So now I did, 15 years ago, I decided the best thing to do is to go to swap meets, which is because you have already made customers there. They're walking up and down, ready to buy. Yeah, you don't have to sit in the store waiting for someone to come in and buy your merchandise. I just found it to be the best way to do it. And then the better stuff goes on eBay or Craigslist, or, you know, however way you want to do it. But I just found swap meets to be the best way to get rid of stuff. And then I always have someone that always buys me out at the end of the day, and just like if you went to a yard sale and I'm done selling all this stuff, and then I'll just sell it out to one person and I'm done with it. On to the next.
Do you also have friends that are trash collectors for all the stuff you want to just throw away?
Absolutely. I got a lot of friends that are trash collectors.
Hey.
Most of my friends are trash collectors.
It's nice doing it the way you do, though, because a lot of overhead. You don't have to pay for
exactly.
a store and pay employees and have all that overhead and the worry
exactly.
of having a store that you have to maintain all the time. It seems to me that's the smartest way to go.
It is. It is. And it took me quite a few years to figure that out, but I finally figured it out, and then that's the way to go. Absolutely. The overhead, you've got the employees, you've got insurance, you've got taxes, you've got, I mean, there's just so much involved.
Yeah.
You just go out to the swap
and you start doing it the way you're doing it.
Exactly. It's just the way to go for me. I don't know. I mean, everything, you know, everybody's different and does their own thing, but I found this to work for me. I mean, after three thrift stores and an auction house and everything that I've done, I found this to be the best way to do it.
Now, do you, when they advertise for auctions, storage locker auctions, does it matter how many
are available at the time? I mean, if they say tomorrow or whatever date we've got three lockers, do you just say, eh, three lockers, I'm going to pass that one. I want to go when there's 10 lockers.
It depends on here's what I do. I normally do. I call the night before, and I find out how many units they've got at each facility that I'm interested in going, and they'll let me know. Then I call again the following morning because sometimes people pay last minute. So I always end up, yes, because they have up until the time of the auction to pay up their unit. So I call again the morning before I leave to go to the auctions and then find out which storage and how many units they're going to have that day. And then I go to the one where they have the more units coming up. It just makes sense unless, you know, I ask the manager how big are the units, what sizes they are. If they say there's three units, but one's a 10 by 20, then I may skip the 10 units and go to the three units thinking there's not going to be that many people at that auction, and I know that there's a 10 by 20 there that I might want.
Wow.
So
there's a lot of information to consider, you know, to decide. Do you also choose neighborhoods?
Absolutely. Neighborhoods is very important.
That comes into play. What is the furthest you've traveled to go to?
Good question.
Vegas.
Really?
Wow.
I bet Vegas is hot.
Yeah, if you want to call that traveling. I mean, Vegas is a 5-hour drive or 4.5-hour drive from us, so that's not too bad. But, yeah, Vegas is probably the only I haven't gone up north. I heard the stuff up north is not that great, so I haven't gone north. I mostly stay in the West L.A. area, Hollywood. That's kind of my area. That's kind of where I like to stay, and the better stuff seems to come from there.
When you've done this as long as you have, I'm certain that you have done enough of your homework that you know where to go and you know what you're doing. And you have your locations picked out, and you know where to go.
Absolutely, I've
been in
also
the business long enough.
Yeah, I've blacklisted a lot of places that I just don't go to because I know that the managers go through the stuff, or you know, it's not a good place to go, or the place is just junky and
a dump.
Yeah, and sometimes, but you know what? Sometimes I've heard that some of the junkiest places, the best stuff has come out of there. But you have to be consistent. You have to go on a consistent basis and just keep going to the same facility, and you may hit that great one. But I just normally stick to what I know.
Right.
Because I've been all over. So In all the years, I've been everywhere, so I know what areas I stay away from and what areas I like to go to.
Now,
we were
Nabila,
talking. Go ahead, Paul.
Our show is all about reality TV, and it's always interesting to ask our various guests from different shows if they watch other reality shows. Do you, or don't you have time?
I have time at night. Sure. I watch, Dog the Bounty Hunter. Love Dog the Bounty Hunter. You know,
yes.
I think Beth is amazing. I just adore her.
Absolutely.
She's my kind of woman. My kind of woman.
Absolutely.
She's kick ass. I love her.
Yeah, I love her too.
Yeah, I really do. She's great. And what else do I watch? Some of the housewives, you know, here and there. I like those.
Well, it's not a housewives series, but it does have wives in it, and just started last year. You don't happen to watch Mob Wives, do you?
You know, I haven't tuned into that, but I heard it's really good. yeah, I've been meaning to get into that. But, you know,
Any of the mainstream ones from the networks like Survivor or Amazing Race or the music competitions or
Big
Brother?
I watch Idol. I watch Boys. I watch Apprentice. I love The Apprentice.
Oh, Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see Gotti go. I mean, Victoria just was, ugh.
Yeah. She's one of the ones. You like watching her on The Housewives, though. She's just, you know, she's one of those people you just love to hate.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know. But, yeah, I mean, I do. I like reality TV. It's fun.
It is.
We like you then, because we love our reality TV.
That's what we're all about. We talk about reality TV on every one of our shows. That's what the Rad Reality Show is all about. And we have Manic Monday. We have Michelle Costa from Big Brother join us. And on Sundays, we have Louis Stravato from The Amazing Race join us. And On Thursdays, we do Survivor Recap, and we normally have someone from Survivor join us, but we were so excited about having you join us tonight that we cut our Survivor Recap short and had you come on the show because we were just thrilled to have someone from Storage Wars, being you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Come on and talk with us. When Thomas told me that he might be able to get you, I was just thrilled. Because of everyone on the show, of course, being a woman, I wanted to have you and talk to you about what it was like being a woman on the show. And, you know, I'm always about, you know, the woman getting in there and you know, going at it with the men. And so I was just thrilled when he told me that he could get you. And Barry would be another person. I know he must have story after story, but
Barry, I don't think Barry even has a cell phone, to be honest with you.
I don't think he does Twitter or anything like that.
No.
He just goes to his helicopter, that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, he does not. He doesn't have a Twitter. I think somebody else does his Twitter for, like, a fan kind of thing.
Right.
Honestly, I don't think he's into all that. Which he doesn't have to be, you know.
Well, you know, earlier we were talking about people storing the craziest stuff, and it seems like it's getting more and more packed. People must be saving more and more things today than ever, because these storage units are popping up more and more every day. They're just everywhere now, and people are storing things more and more. And so it seems like, although the business may be getting a little more competitive because of Storage Wars and shows like that, it seems like they're certainly not running out of units to buy.
Actually, Cherry, this has been going on forever. I mean, like, Public Storage is celebrating their 40 years. So this has been going on for a long time. It's just now, you're just now seeing it because of the show. But this is, I mean, I can go to an auction every day, all day, if I wanted. You know, if I can go to auctions all day long. I choose to go to certain places. I stay close to home. I don't travel out as far, unless I know there's something that I should be traveling for. But, I mean, every day, all day long, you can go to auction.
I asked you earlier how you got into it and mentioned that there's so many different other kinds of auctions. Are you ever tempted to try your hand at some of the other different auctions, or no?
I've been to state over the years. I've been to state auctions. I've been to police auctions. I've been to every kind
post
of auction
office?
You can think of. No, I've never been to the post office one. I've been to the airport ones. You know, unclaimed luggage, unclaimed stuff. I've been to all of them. It's just I found it to be, and the police ones are just outrageous money. Everything goes for so much money. It's ridiculous. I just found it, the storage auctions, to be the most profitable.
Well,
for
Nabila,
me.
Time has flown by. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you
so
much. For
you guys talk about the storage. What is that, storage treasures? Is that the name of the?
Oh,
is that what it's called?
Storage treasures?
Yes.
.com.
.com. If you go on their site, it has a list of all the auctions, and they've got great information on there, everything auctions. I mean, it's a great site to go to.
Wonderful.
If you're interested in the going auctions, I would definitely check out that site.
StorageTreasures.com.
StorageTreasures.com. Great site
okay.
to go to, yes. Yes,
and
there's a lot of
you...
great... Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, there's a lot of great information about everything that's auctioned that has to do with auctions. They have a list of the auctions in the surrounding areas, and then they give you information as well about what you should do and what you shouldn't do and what you should bring and what you shouldn't bring to an auction, and you know, and always be prepared. And the two things you should always bring is a flashlight and locks.
How about money?
Very important. I forgot the money part.
Well, we're running out of time here before the show ends, and I just wanted to give Jerry a chance to shut down the show and thank everybody. So,
well, thank you, Nabila, so much for coming on the show. And I just wanted to mention to you, if you ever have anything that you're promoting, ever want to drop by and join us again, you are always welcome. Our phone lines are always open to you. We'd love to have you back on the show anytime. It was a pleasure talking to you, and we have enjoyed it immensely.
Thank you so much, Cherry. Thank you for having me on. Thank you, Paul. And this is Nabila Hannes at Rad Reality. Is it Rad? Yes, Rad Reality.
Rad Reality Show.
Rad Reality Show. And thank you for having me. I really had a great time with you guys.
Thank you so much, Nabila. You have a great night.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good night, everyone.
Good night, hon.
Okay.
See you later. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Well, we are running out of time. I'm going to have to close the show, but I do want to mention to everyone that I heard from Dave and Mary, and they are going to have to take their baby in much earlier than they thought for surgery. Things have taken a turn, and they need our prayers for baby Savannah. So please, please pray for little baby Savannah, for Dave and Mary. We all know them. They've been regulars on our show. Please pray for baby Savannah. I'll put some information up on my Facebook wall a little later tonight. Also, please keep Ronnie in our prayers. I'm going to close the show out, as I always do, with Ron. Thank you for joining us tonight. It's been a wonderful show. I appreciate all of you joining us. I'm going to close the show with Ron, as always. Take care. Have a great night. Join us on Sunday for the Amazing Race Recap with Louis Stravato at 10 p.m. Eastern. Take care, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. I'm signing off, too. I'm going to finish off the show with... Oh, man, what am I going to finish off with tonight? I've got lots of stuff I can finish off with tonight. But you know what I'm going to finish off with tonight? I'm going to do this one. Sweet dreams.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, you invited everyone you knew. You would see the biggest gift would be for me and the car.
So much for your support here on the Rad Reality Show. I hope to see you again here on Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern for the Rad Reality Show Amazing Race Recap with Louis Stravato, and on Monday night with Michelle Costa for the Red Reality Show, Manic Monday. Have a great weekend. Take care, everyone. Love you. Good night, Ron. Love you, too.
Good night,
Paul.